So a woman called the church last week asking to talk to somebody about a problem she was having, and I didn't know her, but I called her back. And before she told me whatever was going on in her life, she said, "The first thing I have to get over is never wanting to ask for help." And I said, "Well, good for you. You just did." Why is it so hard? Why do so many of us have trouble asking for help? Some people, of course, ask for everything. We might label them needy or demanding. But I suspect the majority of us have an independent spirit. You know, I'll do it myself. So I thought this year, instead of making resolutions about what you're going to do, you might consider resolving to ask for help. One of the great things about churches is the help that we make available to each other. And churches have always done that. The early Christians lived communally. They shared everything. Now, we have social media. So on Facebook, you can let us know if you're sick or ask if somebody knows a good plumber. Asking for help actually might be part of our spiritual growth. So I wanted to talk today about the unseen help available to us, human and divine. Let's start with the unseen human help. Just to consider how many people help you in this lifetime without your ever knowing them. So let's say a little boy hits a home run. You know, and I did it. Maybe his team carries around on their shoulders, did it all by himself, but he probably has a coach, probably has a mother who's been driving him to practice, might have a dad who's been playing ball with him in the yard. Other families provided the players for both teams. Someone built the ballpark. Millions of people have sustained baseball as the American pastime for nearly two centuries. So yeah, this little boy did hit a home run all by himself. It's his achievement, and there were thousands of unseen helpers. This is true for everything we do on Earth. Think about the huge system of human beings required to hand you a Big Mac at the drive-up window. I know you all don't ever eat them, but I've heard they have they have people to run the company, someone built the stores, they truck in the food, they flip the burgers. Or maybe the car you drive had an inventor, an assembly line, it might have been shipped from overseas, you might have bought it from a chain of dealerships. When you flip a switch and the light comes on, it's the result of a massive infrastructure involving thousands of people over the past century to get light to you. Generating power with oil, water, coal, nuclear, those are huge industries in themselves. And then the power plants and the transmission lines down to the wire leading to your house and the current that runs through the wall to the switch. My point is, we rely on unseen helpers every day of our lives, even when it would appear we're doing something alone. Yeah, I just turned on the light. So, by the same token, there is a system of unseen help in place to support you as a spiritual being on a human journey, even when it seems you're going through this experience all by yourself. You know, I've been reading for years about angels and guides and beings who are eager to help us. They say it's like having a staff or a team to do our bidding, that there's a massive infrastructure already in place to back us up. Now, I realize reading something over and over is not scientific proof. But they all say one crucial thing, the same thing. They say help is available, all you have to do is ask, but you do have to ask. The unseen helpers apparently are bound by rules that say they can't interfere without a request from us. They have to leave us with our free will unless we ask them for help. So we'll get to it in a minute about who or what we're asking for help. But I want to stop here to note that in unity, what you'll hear is, oh, no, don't ask, just affirm. Affirm that what you want is already available. Claim it. Make a demand on the universe. And yeah, that's done in the interest of taking responsibility for our creative power, using spiritual principles rather than waiting for divine rescue. So to say don't ask is well-intentioned if by asking you mean begging God or dwelling on what you lack in life. You don't want to do anything that puts you in that frame of mind, focusing on what's wrong. So instead, in unity, we're taught to affirm. Affirm that the good already exists. Affirm that whatever you desire is available. And we can do even more. Last June, I gave a talk called Command Your Path. Commanding is affirmations on steroids. It's not that you're commanding God to do something. You're commanding your own energy, your elevated consciousness. Commanding puts the wheels in motion and opens a path to receive. So an affirmation would be something like, I live in a universe of abundance and I have everything I need. A command is, show me the money. And it's not disrespectful. The energy you put into the creation is the energy with which it is returned. So I'm talking about asking from an awareness of spiritual law. It's asking from our highest possible consciousness. But we have to make the first move. They have to wait to be asked. So who is they? Who's waiting for us? Whom do we ask? Well, call it what you will. Angels, guides, your higher self, your future self, even Jesus or God. It could be the energy of love and light that are the building blocks of the universe. So here's what I've been learning recently, that asking works on two fronts. I mean, I knew this, but it's really helped me to pull these two ideas apart. So first, what we usually call the universe is a duplication machine. It replicates our thinking. It is absolutely neutral. It just obeys the law. It expands whatever we give attention to. It reflects consciousness back to us. We've talked about this a lot. The second form of help can be thought of as beings in other dimensions or at higher levels. They're not really separate from us because we're all one, but they are operating at a different frequency. It's taken me a long time to come around to this idea that there might be layers and layers of beings that we can't see from our human perspective. And I know that idea is not new to many of you. But growing up Baptist, I got nothing about angels or saints or anything except me, Jesus, and God. And Unity's co-founders, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, didn't talk about this either. They talked mostly about God. And then Charles believed that when Jesus ascended, his atoms scattered through the universe, and that energy was available to us. But I don't think I've read anything from the Fillmores about angels or guides or ascended masters. So I'm just telling you how I've been thinking about it lately, not what Unity teaches per se. But Unity does teach we have two ways to ask or communicate with the divine. One is to put the thoughts of what you want into the duplication machine to get more of it. The other is to ask unseen helpers who are part of you and you're part of them, their energies or entities that love you. So let's talk about the principle first. Principle is neutral, as you know. By definition, a principle is the same for everyone, everywhere, all the time. Like 2 + 2 = 4, always. So in this case, a principle or law is that our thoughts or energetic vibrations are duplicated and returned to us as an exact copy, whether we want it or not. This is done with mathematical precision. This is why we talk all the time about being aware of what we're thinking and saying, about the energy we're holding, because it will be reflected to us. It's very methodical. But most of us want more than that in our spiritual connections. The closeness we seek with the divine, the relationship, the comfort and warmth comes from beings. The confusion is that we've called both of them God. And we haven't known whether we should ask for help from God or energy beings, or just think the right thoughts for the machine? The answer, of course, is both, and they work together. The duplication machine is very specific, and I'm learning more about this too. You know, I've said 1,000 times, whatever you're afraid of will come into your life. So if you're afraid of being sick, you're likely to end up sick. And what someone pointed out to me is that if you're afraid you'll get a disease, what manifests is more fear of getting a disease. Because your real vibration, your real energy is saying, I'm okay now, but what if I get sick? So you get more of being okay now, but more fear about getting sick. Does that make sense? I don't have money now, but I'd like to have some in the future. Well, you get more lack of money now, plus more desire for money in the future. You can see why we seem to stay stuck. The way to shift that is by knowing. Knowing all is well, knowing everything is being handled, knowing it's already done. And it's easier to know if you utilize the help that's available. So think of spiritual principle like a car. You can drive a car across town to see someone you love, or you can drive the car off the road. Oh gosh, Myla, I'm sorry. But you know what I'm talking about, right? The point is, the car does not know or have an opinion about what's best for you. Practicing principle is like learning to drive. You're dealing with a machine, a law. But when you ask for help, suddenly you also have a driving instructor. The instructor's in the other seat giving you directions. You have asked the instructor to be there. You made arrangements for that. And sometimes the instructor takes over, especially when you are headed off the road. You're still doing the work, steering, making decisions, deciding where you want to go. You still have the power and responsibility to create your life. You just don't have to do it alone. Some of you know who Mike Dooley is. He's a spiritual teacher who sends funny daily emails signed The Universe. And they are a wonderful reminder of our divine identity and our true power. So this one came out just this past week, and it's longer than usual, but I thought it was right on point for this. It says, did you know, Ellen, it always puts your name in it, did you know, Ellen, that your primitive little computer already has about 672 powerful options, shortcuts, and functions you don't even know about that could make your life simpler, happier, and zippier with just a few clicks? Cool, he says. And did you know that the universe has about 672 gigatrillion powerful options, shortcuts, and functions? Friends, allies, and confidants. Secrets, solutions, and answers. Ideas, inventions, and dimensions. Angels, wizards, and fairies. Engineers, strategists, and specialists. Plotters, planners, and diagrammers. Nooks, crannies, and hideouts. Games, adventures, and thrills. Stories, legends, and fables. Flavors, scents, and melodies. Pleasures, pleasantries, and passions. Eurekas, cowabungas. And yee-haws. That you don't even know about. That could make your life simpler, happier, and zippier with just a little visualizing. You can start now. Signed, The Universe. That's the unseen help I'm talking about. And it starts with visualizing, because you cast a vision for what you want. You decide where to drive the car. It's waiting for your command. You make the first move. That gives the duplication machine something to work with. But at the same time, you have access to your higher mind, to unseen help in all its forms and dimensions that will improve upon your vision. Your vision, and it's a good idea to write it down. It just makes the vibration more powerful. But even then, what you envision for your future is a placeholder. It's just a starter kit. Your higher mind will arrange synchronicities, opportunities, circumstances, and situations for the highest form of your vision to unfold, if you ask. That's why we say this or something better still when we write down a specific vision. Then, when things turn out differently and better than you could have imagined, that's your higher mind at work. That's what is meant by beyond my wildest dreams. You're not at the mercy of the duplication machine. And you don't have to worry that you'll think the wrong thoughts if you remember to ask for help in elevating the vision and smoothing out the rough places. Increasingly, I don't think we can ever get our minds around how this all works, not from the level of our human brains. So we get to live in the mystery, which is kind of growing on me. I've resisted it for a long time, but I'm admitting here today, what is it, January 8th, we may not ever know everything. But we are already connected to everything through our higher minds. We're connected to an energy we call by many names, even if we don't understand it. This is exactly what Unity teaches through its five basic principles, which are ancient spiritual teachings that show up in all systems of belief. God is all there is, number one, and you are a divine being, an expression of the infinite. Your thoughts have creative power. Unity doesn't call it a duplication machine, but I think that's a good way to picture it. And the most powerful way to deal with these ideas, the divine in all things and the machine, is through prayer and meditation, or focused thought. You're feeding the machine and you're asking for help when you pray. And then our fifth principle is to live the truth we know. And when you know, you can drive the machine by deciding where to focus your thoughts, and you know you are part of a massive divine infrastructure supporting your human journey, and you can never be separate from it. Knowing all of that, life can be wonderful indeed. Just ask. So let's take these thoughts into meditation. To meditate, we become still and quiet. You might close your eyes and take a deep breath and turn within to that place in you, the God in you, where there is peace that passes understanding. You may ask for help from this God within, in whatever form you imagine it. You may ask for help from the God, the power, the presence that is all around you, in whatever form you imagine it. Like a goldfish in the water, you are immersed in love and light and well-being, in you, through you, and around you, and always available. And so bring to mind something that you might have been struggling with lately, something that seems confusing, something you're not optimistic about. And take a moment to ask for help. Ask the ethers, ask whoever's out there, or ask the guides and spirits you may already know you have. Ask Jesus or God, ask the universe for help, for ideas, for opportunities, for peace, for well-being. You may not know what this help will look like, and you might not recognize it at first when it shows up. This is when we just stay open. We start to assume that whatever shows up is for our highest good, somehow. Help may come through people, through ideas, may come in the mail, may come in a dream. Stay open to those divine messages. And know that you are always connected to this divine infrastructure, backing you up in your human journey. Our souls were brave to take on this human experience, and we're so grateful for the awareness that we are not going through it alone. We say thank you, God, and so it is. Amen.